Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, hello.
Hi, Taylor. I'm looking for advice. How do I get a headphone jack out of a microphone when the headphone jack has become unattached from the microphone? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks.
I think you should post the photo you sent me on the Jumping Bomb Audio Blue Sky account.
I should. I don't know if I have access. Tell me the password right now.
Do you remember the password for the Twitter?
I could find that.
It's the same.
Okay, good. I'll read it out loud once I find it.
Great. But Kelly, you're coming through beautifully.
I'm so glad.
It's all the same. I had a very weird moment doing the intro where I felt like my voice was not coming out of me. 'Cause I'm hearing myself in my headphones, and that overrode my voice, my actual speaking.
Okay.
And so it was like I was hearing someone say the words. Anyway, I was disassociating.
Yeah.
In the middle of that intro, but I think I still did a pretty good job.
Damn, I somehow do not have the password saved. So I guess you just have to tell me right now on air.
Okay, I you know what I'll do? I don't know if people... Can people hear me type when I type on the show?
I might... Like, I'll every now and then I will, but it's never like... Bum, 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 bum.
Okay, I am like... going to... I think I'm going to type it to you right now. And right, I will fantastic. Let people hear the keystrokes.
Oh, they'll
and
be able to
frankly,
figure it out.
Frankly, if you can guess the password, you are welcome to our Blue Sky account. Okay, here we go. Also, I don't know if that is actually the password.
All right, it's definitely Cherry Pop and Daddy's 69.
I love Zoot Suit Riot. That's a great song. I'll say it. I'll be courageous. Now, did that get you in?
No, I just remembered what's our fucking, did we use the email or what's our, thing? I'm sure people are loving this. How do I even log into a new account on Blue Sky?
Are you on your phone?
Yeah.
You go to the, how did I do it? Okay, our login name is J-Bomb Audio. I think if you do J-Bomb Audio.
Okay, that should be easy enough. We can do the show. I'll figure this out. Occasionally, I'll probably be like, hey, I don't know what's happening, and interrupt you when you're talking about something important.
But if you
add another account, found it.
Got it. If you want to see what is happening with Kelly's microphone and headphones, follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. And if you want even more Kelly content, you can follow him at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review.
Oh, we're so in.
And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So we are going to be talking some Tokyo Joshi today. We are going to be talking Marvelous today. But before we do, we want to talk about Babbel. That's right. Learn to speak a new language with confidence. With Babbel, you'll learn practical and useful skills that you can apply right away so you can reach your goal of having real-life conversations faster. Achieve your goals with course material that's tailored to your proficiency level, interests, and time commitment. Stay motivated with real-time feedback, progress trackers, and handy visualizations. Sharpen your pronunciation with speech recognition, and build your conversational skills through engaging, interactive dialogues. Join millions of Babbel learners breaking the language barrier every day, and you can join at voicesofwrestling.com/JBABBEL. That's JBABBEL. That's Babbel. All right, Kelly, the first thing we are going to talk about today is the most recent Tokyo Joshi Korakuen Hall show from May 4th. That was Yes, Wonderland in front of 1,087 fans. A pretty good number for Tokyo Joshi. What did you think of the show?
More like no Wonderland, am I right? No, it was fine. I enjoyed it.
I was like, oh, you didn't like it?
No, it was a fine show. I just wanted to say that.
I thought it was pretty solid. I don't think there was anything really blow away, but there were matches I enjoyed. It moved along, and yeah.
Very easy watch.
Yeah, easy watch. I would agree. So let's get right into it. The first match was a singles match, Ren Kanatsu defeating Shion Kanzaki, the two newest wrestlers on the Tokyo Joshi roster, in 5 minutes and 45 seconds. Thought this match was solid. Didn't have too many other thoughts. Didn't think I'd hear an Austin Aries mention on commentary. By defining, like, oh, you know about Aries, like as in Austin Aries. I was like, not as Aries as in like the very common, sign that we know. I thought it was fun to end with a submission. That was fun. Other than that, less than 6 minutes. I think two solid wrestlers, but still both very young and still learning.
Yeah, no, it was a fine match. They're both coming along really well, I think, and exciting to watch them grow up as wrestlers.
The next match was a 6-person tag team match. The trio of Kira Summer, Wakana Uehara, and Yori defeating Kelly's favorite tag team, the Bumping Gritters of Himawari and Shino Suzuki, who teamed with Chika Nanase. The biggest thing to me here was Kira and Chika still feel like, I don't really know the word, but like, who are they?
Yeah.
Not from a sense of like, oh, I've never seen them before, but they feel so undefined that they sort of wrestle, and I'm like, oh, this is fine. They're good, you know, solid wrestlers. But I feel like I don't really know that much about them, or like they don't really have characters. They don't really have a lot to them. Especially when you're in there with like, you know, Himawari and Shino, who are very well defined. It just feels like, oh, these are just two people who are bodies to put into matches.
Yeah. Like Kira has the advantage of being Australian, or is she Australian or New Zealand? Do we know which?
I believe she's Australian.
Yeah, and she can just lean on that. Like she's the foreigner from Australia that has a child, and she does commentary. I couldn't tell you a goddamn thing about Chika Nanase. She wears orange.
There you go. There's one thing.
Real orange lover.
Also, unrelated to this match, largely, Wakana Uehara releasing the video of eating the what is the burger called? The quadruple 20... bypass burger?
Or yeah, it's like 20,000 calories or some shit.
Burger at the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas. Kelly, did you you sent the video?
Oh yeah, I watched.
You watched it.
I watched the whole thing. That was a fascinating video.
I just think you're really just eating slab, like, patties of meat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that seems so bad.
And, like, there wasn't even extra buns. It was just the two buns.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you're just taking, like, patties of meat and being like, whoop.
And big-ass slices of tomatoes, too, I will say. They definitely, like, beefed up, no pun intended, the size of it by shoving, like, half of a tomato in between almost every patty.
Yeah. And you know those patties are like the most flavorless.
Oh yeah.
Nothing. Like even she was saying it in the video, she was like, I wasn't enjoying the flavor of these. I'm like, I can imagine they're like the lowest quality burgers. Weird thing to say, glad she didn't get spanked at the end.
Yeah, like the entire time she's like, oh, I have to finish this so I don't get spanked. And that is just such an insane thing.
And it's like such a weird like, why is that the punishment?
The video of the older gentleman wearing the hospital gown, getting spanked by a sexy nurse was so strange. Like everything about that restaurant is so weirdly horny, and like wholesome Wakana coming in there, it was just did not match the vibe of that place in any way.
I also like that it just ended with her being like, "I finished."
Yep.
I'm like, did anything happen after? Like, do they give you anything? Because she was just like, well, I finished it. Video over. Like, oh, like, do you get your picture on the wall?
They're like, no, the spanking is the reward.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't actually want to finish.
Yeah, we don't expect anyone to finish it. It's just so old men can get spanked by women dressed like nurses.
Heart Attack Grill. I'm now on the Heart Attack Grill website, which is mostly pictures of women dressed as nurses.
Yeah.
Oh, there is no information about the actual restaurant. Wait, what? Oh, I clicked on a random spot and it brought me to Google Maps. Okay.
Come here if you want to see women.
Nurse Ricky. Oh, what? Oh, and this brings me to what? This brings me to a YouTube playlist. Of it appears the nurse waitresses from the Heart Attack Grill doing karaoke.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what this is. Let's see. What song do we want to hear? Tomorrow. Is this? Oh, yep. Now, oh, okay. This also isn't karaoke. It's lip syncing.
Okay.
Now, Kelly, let's say you're putting up a video of a woman dressed as a nurse singing Tomorrow from Annie.
Okay, yes, yes.
She's, I'll give you a little bit more context in that she's singing into one of those sort of oversized children's lollipops, you
great.
Know, that are like big and circular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's say you were making this video.
I'm thinking about how to do it right now.
What do you think you'd put in the background of this video?
I would put just a bunch of hamburgers, probably.
Kelly, I have to say you're way off.
Is it a bunch of like syringes?
No, it's a video of something.
And oh,
it's, frankly, a video I'm surprised that hasn't been copyright struck.
Is it just Annie?
No, it does begin with a picture of the cartoon of Annie.
Okay.
But after 9 seconds, it changes to the GIMP scene from Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Why?
So am I to... I feel like that's telling me that there are things that happen in the basement of this place.
What is that's that, so odd
that Wakana was not privy to and just came
thankfully.
There for a good hamburger time and missed out on the darkness that lurks inside of the Heart Attack Grill or whatever the hell it's called.
This is very weird. And there's so many of them. 57 videos.
I really thought the videos would be like a compilation of the spankings.
I thought it would be something to do with the restaurant.
Yeah.
At least, no, these all, wait, oh, what? Oh, and these all individually go to different playlists? Oh, God, this is horrible. Subscribe to our YouTube rock videos is how they do it. Oh, Ron Jeremy's on the website.
Oh, great.
Oh, there are 3 Ron Jeremy karaoke videos.
I bet they're okay. Not recent.
Unfortunately, there's absolutely no information about the actual restaurant. The Heart Attack Grill. I'm going to Wikipedia. Each patient dons... Yes, yes, yes. Those who do not finish their food will receive a paddle spanking by one of the, in quotes, nurses, with the option to buy the paddle afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Customers over 350 pounds can eat at the restaurant for free.
I'm telling you, there's something else too.
Oh,
they're making
wait,
their money
wait.
Some other way.
Wait. A reward for customers who finish a triple or quadruple bypass burger, after which they are placed in a wheelchair and wheeled out to their vehicle by their, quote, personal nurse.
I think they come with you, too.
What an odd place.
All I'm saying is I think Wakana accidentally bought a woman and did not realize it and just ate the hamburger instead.
They were like, should we wheel you out now? And she was probably like, no, thank
yeah.
you. Anyway, that was our side conversation on the Heart Attack Grill. Yeah, but other than that, the match was fine.
Yeah.
The next match was another 6-person tag team match. Mei Suruga, Mizuki, and Uda Takami defeating Palm Harajuku, Raku, and Yuki Aino in 12 minutes and 50 seconds. I mean, this is the troll match that we expected, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. You know. Nothing stands out, but it's sort of what I expected, had a good time, and that was that.
Yeah, just a bunch of absolute menaces having a match.
The next match was a tag team match, the duo of Aja Kong and Yuki Kamifuku defeating Kakeru Sekiguchi and Mahiro Kiryu in 9 minutes and 41 seconds in a very bad... portend or something coming up soon.
Taylor, you know what I noticed in this match?
What?
Kakeru Sekiguchi and Mahiro Kiryu look a lot alike. Did you know that?
I I guess I did, but I don't really think about it ever. No, but Kelly, my first note on this match was, I think we can move on from Camille.
Yeah.
Whoops. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I've got bad news for myself in about an hour and a half. Look, I thought the Mihiro Kakaru stuff was funny. It didn't make it a good match. Like, I didn't think this was a good match. But I was like, okay, this is sort of funny. It's sort of one of those things where, like, when Aja doesn't have a specific, like, I'm going to kill so-and-so in this match, it just is like, okay, nothing's really happening.
Mm-hmm. It really felt like, all right, Aja agreed to work this show. What do we put her in? Oh, fuck. Okay, we got, who's left? Who's, I'd throw him in that match. Okay, we'll do this.
And it is weird they keep getting Kakaru Sekiguchi, who I think is good and I think could probably be more used by other promotions.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like every time she shows up, she does this exact, like, this is the only thing she does.
Well, didn't you know it's hilarious? It's I'm slapping my knee constantly. My knee is bleeding from how much I was slapping it. They look so much alike.
Kelly, it sounds like you love this match.
It was so funny. I couldn't really tell you anything about the match because I was laughing so hard. And, like, you know, the walls were closing in on my eyes. I was starting to pass out from how funny it was and just, you know, leaking blood out of my knee from all those slaps.
I think we'll leave that match there with Kelly's imminent doom from laughter. The next match was Ryo Mizunami defeating Toga in a singles match in 9 minutes and 48 seconds. I don't think this was the best version of this now sort of standard Ryo Mizunami match, but I did like the story. I think that all these matches are helpful, so I wasn't blown away by the match itself, but I sort of enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, this is good. It's good for, like, people in this promotion to go through this. So yeah, that was my main thought.
The true passion injector is at it again. And she, I thought it was a good match. It was just meat slapping into meat. It was a good time. I went 3¾ on it.
The next match, we were back to tag team action, Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima defeating Kiss Kick Slash, the duo of Miyu Yamashita and Sakura Hattori, in 11 minutes and 11 seconds. Make a wish. I was surprised to see Hattori get pinned. I guess maybe not Hattori get pinned, but for that side to lose.
Yeah.
Because we had talked about before, we're like, oh, this would be a good, like, number one contender match. And then it clearly was not that. And I'm trying to figure out, what does the promotion think about Sakura Hattori?
I cannot tell, because it seems like they were really hot on getting her a bunch of wins, and then they're like, well, that happened. Time to have her lose.
Well, yeah, they gave her a title match, but I'm like, she started out wrestling sort of these, like, nobodies.
Yeah.
You know, like, lower card people. And it's like, okay, they're trying to get her easy wins, although the first win was not that easy. And then it's like, oh, beating Hyper. And it's like, oh, they're building it. Okay, they're building her a title match. Okay, she loses. And what happens now? And it seems like they're like, well, we got, like, a month or two out of you, so back down the card. Like, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming. Goodbye. And now, like, and I like the team. I like the Miyu and Sakura team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should keep teaming because I think it will help Hattori get better. But yeah, it was weird. Like, I had fun with the match. I was sort of, like, surprised by the ending. But then at the end, I sort of was like, yep, another sort of standard match. This sometimes happens with these Tokyo Joshi Korakins, where it's like the stuff that isn't really important just sort of can blend together.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just sort of like, yep, another match. It was fine. I'll never think about this match ever again. The minute this episode ends, I will never think about this match ever again.
Yeah, it'll be dumped from the temporary storage.
Then we get into the business end of the card. First, with the International Princess title match, Suzume defeating Haru Kazushiro in 12 minutes and 55 seconds. Kelly, interested to hear what you thought about this match.
This was my favorite match of the show. I thought it was really good. I thought Suzume made Haru look really, really good here. And I like how they worked the match where it was like Suzume kind of just survived by the skin of her teeth and used her experience. And it's like if she wasn't as experienced and kind of evasive and smart as she is, Haru probably would have beat her. And, you know, she let she sold a lot for Haru. I think this match did a ton for Haru. And I thought it was great. I went 3.75 on it. It was my favorite match of the show for sure.
I went 4 stars. I really liked it. I really liked the idea of Haru getting to the arm of Suzume. And it was sort of like, okay, Suzume is at a disadvantage because of the arm, but she is better than Haru. So it's like, okay, this is making things a little bit harder for me, but I am still better than you because, you know, I have the experience. I'm the champion, you know, for reasons of not necessarily straight in like, okay, who's better in ring, although Suzume, but Suzume has more experience. It's like, okay, I know what to do. Like, you took away my arm. I'm going to have to adjust, but I can adjust because I'm still better than you. Like, I'm more experienced. I know what to do here. So I like that story. They didn't move away from the arm. I thought it could be very easily a thing where it's like, Haru attacks the arm, and then halfway through the match, they sort of forget it, and then Suzume just wins. And it's like, oh, you tried to get me, but it didn't work. It was like, okay, you figured something out. You affected my arm, but I adjusted. I'm the better wrestler, and I still beat you.
Like, yeah, like it was any... an integral part to the match.
Yeah, and there wasn't any, like, you get to the end, and it's like, oh, it's so close margin. It was like, no, she got the definitive win. You know, got a little hurt, but made it. Probably my biggest takeaway from the match was Haru's in that position now that Miyu Watanabe was in however many years ago.
Yeah,
Where, like, she wasn't at the top, but you're like, in 2 or 3 years, she's going to be very good. Like,
yes.
Really, really good. Very solid in this match, like a 4-star match. I thought she did very well. But you can see that it's still only sort of scratching the surface of her potential. And so you're like, oh, this is going to be even better in 2 or 3 years. When you have more experience, you've done these matches, you sort of understand it all. Again, this also was my favorite match of the show. I went 4 stars. Just really good. Great showing by Haru in this big position early. I mean, Suzume is great. And I think Suzume is a very interesting wrestler in a way that not many people on the Tokyo Joshi roster are, in that she does do a lot more of these sort of like, my arm is hurt match, or like, that's not really the big style of Tokyo Joshi, is like, oh, we're working this limb, like a limb work match, really, by and large. So I find that very interesting. But yes, recommend, if you didn't watch the show, watch this match, because I very much enjoyed it.
She clearly puts a lot of thought into her matches.
Yeah, and I think there have been some matches where it's like, okay, didn't quite, like the Mirai match didn't quite all connect to me, but I'm like, there was thinking beyond like, okay, I'm going to do this move, you do this move, we'll do this. Like, there is some thinking as to like, what am I doing? Why am I doing these moves? What's happening to me beyond, you know, the simple A, B, and C, which I really appreciate, even though, as I said, sometimes it hasn't quite connected. But I thought here it really did connect and was very good. Then it was the semi-main event for the Princess Tag Team titles, and we have new champions as Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi defeat the Inspiration, Cassie Lee, and Jesse McKay to win the titles in 12 minutes and 53 seconds. Look, was this a good in-ring match? No, it was not. But I have to say, this seems to be, at least for the moment, the end of the sort of inspiration story in Tokyo Joshi. You know, they may come back or do something else, I don't know, but at least the story of them winning the tag titles. I thought it was a fun little diversion for how many months has it been? 2 months?
Yeah, it's not even, probably.
A month and a half? How long has it been? They won them at the beginning of April?
That's...
When was that show? I forget everything. But anyway, it's been a very short time. I thought that they were fun. I thought the matches were not great. They were not... None of them were blow away. I actually thought this one was maybe a little bit worse than some of the previous ones that they've had, because there was a little bit of like, oh, what's going on? What? Oh, everyone get where you need to go. But let me offer you this alternate. Okay, Inspiration doesn't win the tag titles. This is Uber Eats for the last month and a half. Have we missed anything?
No.
Having it be the Inspiration instead of Uber Eats?
We have missed the Yuki Arai title, and that's it. Everything else, like, if it would stay exactly the same.
So it's just one of those things where I'm like, it was diverting enough. They were good heels. They were fun heels. The matches weren't great, but we've now moved on. And actually, we've now moved into a place where I'm like, great, it's Miyu and Rika.
Yeah.
There will be good matches again. Mizuki and Uta Takami coming out at the end to challenge. Great. That will be a great match. I'm like excited for the tag team division again. So I think at the end of the day, not a match worth seeking out in any way, but an enjoyable enough story. It was harmless. I think, you know, the last, you know, when they won the titles and then in Vegas, I saw, you know, would go online and I saw a lot of like, oh my God, how could they ever give these people these titles? In 6 months, you won't remember it, or you'll look back and go, oh yeah, that was interesting. You know, it was fine to me. And now we've moved on.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It wasn't offensively bad. So I'll give them that. It was perfectly acceptable.
And then in the main event, it was the Princess of Princess title on the line. Yuki Arai, the champion, defeating Ariso Endo in 20 minutes and 38 seconds. This was an interesting one for me. Now, Kelly, based on the fact that Suzume and Haru was your match of the show at 3 3/4, I'm interested to know what you thought of this match.
I thought it was solid enough. I would probably end up at like 3.5. I don't think it was great. I think Endo was very good, but I don't think Yuki Arai's got it.
It was very weird for me because there was a lot of parts of it that I really liked.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, they're hitting big moves off the top rope. They're throwing some good strikes at each other. There were some good near falls at the end. And so I was thinking of those parts and I was like, I really did enjoy that. But then when the match ended and I sort of thought of it as a whole, I was like, did I like that match? And so it was a weird thing where there was a lot I liked and still as a whole, I felt I wasn't crazy about it. I ended up going 4 stars on it just because I was confused. Because I was sort of like, there was a lot of that match was good, but there is something, I don't know if it's the Yuki Arai stuff, where it's just like, it doesn't solidify for me as on a whole as like something I enjoy.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
The connective tissue isn't there.
And there's still so much. I'm like, okay, the finally still looking like, you know, a sort of pat on the head is maybe part of it. That these matches always end And it's a bummer because it's like, if she is using the finale to win matches, it means almost no matter what happens in the match is going to end with me going, didn't look great, but okay. Like, the match will automatically end with me sort of being on the fence, being like, well, didn't look great, or, oh, well, it looked slightly better than last time.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are sometimes it looks like literally a very light tap on the head. I thought this one was okay in that it didn't look the like the softest move on earth, but it didn't look like, oh, she, you know, the big standard in this match, if you're going to end a match by kicking someone really hard, you're comparing yourself to Miyu Yamashita,
mm-hmm.
who often looks like she's kicking people's heads off of their bodies to end matches. Like, that's the comparison. Is that fair? Probably not.
But it's what it is.
It's in the same promotion, and it's the same type of thing. I'm ending this match with a kick, you know. I'm getting this match, or I'm getting this move, and it's inspired by, you know, I faced off against Meiko Satomura, who had the Scorpio Rising. The Scorpio Rising, you know, sometimes didn't look great, but that was because sometimes it, like, would miss.
Mm-hmm.
But when it hit, it looked like it was going to knock that person out.
Yeah.
And you're like, yep, that's the finish. With the finale, you're like, oh, that's the finish is sort of getting lightly hit on the head? Question mark.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing was, is she even a draw? Now, we go back. This show drew over 1,000 fans. So maybe there's something there.
Maybe.
To her being a draw. I'm trying to remember. Because Yes Wonderland is always at Korakuen, right?
I believe it is, yeah.
Oh. Cage match is going to be very punitive with my spelling here. Okay. Yes! Exclamation point. Wonderland. Well, okay. I'm like, this might be one of the highest drawing ones, but Yes Wonderland, the first Yes Wonderland in 2018 drew 1,200 people.
Well, that's pre-pandemic. You can just, at this point, just throw that out.
Yeah. Okay. So 2021, they drew zero.
Well,
because, whoops. 695 in 2022, 774 in 2023, 756 in 2024, and they didn't do it in 2025. So it is the best number since 2019.
Okay.
When they drew 1,110 fans for a main event of Shoko Nakajima winning the title from Miyu Yamashita. So, look, maybe there is something there. Maybe the fans were like, we don't care about this show unless she's the champion.
Maybe.
That could be. You know, and if she's drawing and if she keeps, you know, I think they have a Korakuen coming up, another cork and coming up soon. If they draw a big number again, maybe it's like, oh, I guess the in-ring stuff doesn't really matter that much. I don't know. Maybe it's Endo drawing part of this. It seemed like people were pretty behind Endo in this match.
Yeah. And I mean, we can't discount the momentum of just the company coming into this too.
Yeah. Maybe maybe people love the inspiration.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know, but Yuki Arai is the champion. She's on top. So we, you know, you got to think most of the credit has to go to her. But I agree with you. There is still just something about her that is like, this is not all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that is not there with this. Now, after the match, Arai wins. Who comes out to challenge her? Yuki Kamifuku. In a match that could be not very good.
An absolute disaster.
It's like, look, okay, I went 4 stars in this match. It helps. I think Endo's in the top 5 workers in this company, I would probably say.
Yeah.
You know, the two Miyu, who would we say? Well, maybe not top 5. The two Miyus.
Suzume.
See, because I would do the two Miyus, Mizuki, and, Shoko.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then there's like, it could be Arisa, it could be Endo, it could be Suzume, Rika.
At this point, I would put Suzume above Endo.
But I would say a top worker.
Yes.
In this company, you know, won the title from Miyu Watanabe. I would argue the top worker in the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the big test of like, this is not a top worker in this company. Someone who came out and is like, I don't like challenging for singles titles. First of all, I'm like, oh, that will get me excited.
Fantastic.
To watch this. Oh, I usually don't like coming out here and doing this. Oh, okay. Cool. Rev me up. I'm ready for this match of a person who doesn't really want to challenge and, you know, Yuki Arai. Oh, great. But we'll see. But I thought, you know, between the main event, the Suzume Haru match, which I agree was the match of the night, and the sort of conclusion of the tag title story, I mean, I thought it was a fairly solid Corrigan and Hall show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a solid show. Nothing was really was bad, and it was just it was fine. It was a fine show that breezed by, and I had a good time watching it.
So next, we will move on to the marvelous 10th anniversary show. It came to us from Yokohama Buntai on May 5th, 2026, in front of 3,492 fans. A pretty good number, and it looked like a legitimate number.
It did, yeah.
Based on the fact they walked around the whole arena at one point, and so you could see the whole
crowd.
They
turned the lights on.
Yeah. Kelly, what did you think of this show?
I thought the good stuff was real good. And the rest was kind of a slog.
I sort of thought it was okay as like, oh, we're celebrating a 10th anniversary and we don't usually do this. Like, I could sort of write the stuff off as like, yeah, some of the stuff is not really driving me crazy. I don't know how much I'm loving it, but I'm like, they're trying to get people on the show. And there was enough where it would be like, okay, we've had one or two matches that I'm not really crazy about. And then there would be something fun.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't a constant, or it wasn't like, okay, the not enjoyable matches are seven matches in a row. And then it's three good matches. It was like, okay, one or two matches that aren't great. Oh, here's something that's good. One or two matches that I'm not crazy about. Oh, this was great. So I think it was well spread out, and I like the production. Well, I like some of the production aspects of Marvelous. I have a soft spot for the ring announcer who just screams.
Yes.
Like, just screams and screams and screams for whatever reason.
There was a part when they cut to her, and just like, that was the first time I actually saw her screaming. And I kind of pictured there would be some emotion on her face, but she was just completely stone-faced, and I laughed so hard.
Like, I like the walkout at the beginning, like, everyone coming out and showing the match card and all of that. Like, I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is cool. Great. So let's dive into it. Kelly, I'll start first with a match I did not watch. I don't know if you watched this match either. The WWE ID men's title match. Did you watch this?
I did. It was all right. Okay. I like Titus Alexander. I do not like Starboy Charlie.
Starboy Charlie successfully retaining the WWE ID men's title over Titus Alexander in 9 minutes and 41 seconds. I was like, not Joshi. I'm moving on. Sorry to those men. The next match, the first, at least partially Joshi match, was a four-way tag team match. Shin Sakura Hirota and Titus Alexander again, defeating the three other teams, Alan Angels and Ray Lynn, Miko Alana and Vinny Massara, and Renee Michelle, or as the Titan or the Tron called her, Renee Michelle, and Yosuke Santamaria. This was the first case of, oh, they've made all these graphics through AI and the AI is not doing well.
Yeah.
When they called her, they put it up enough and it was so prominent that I thought, have I always thought of this person as Renee Michelle and have been wrong? Like, I was like, maybe her name is Renee, but she spells it this way.
Yeah.
Like, I was very confused. And then they brought up the Chiron and it was like Renee Michelle. And I was like, nope, I am correct about this. Kelly, I have to admit, with this match, didn't mind Hirota.
She was one of the least offensive things in this match, which is crazy. I thought this match was just the fucking shits. It was very much... This had WrestleMania weekend vibes. My favorite part of the match was when Renee Michelle did the moonsault off the top and just spiked herself headfirst on the ground. That was crazy.
Well, I thought when she started it that she was going to do sort of like a coffin drop sort of thing.
That's what I thought.
Where it was like, oh, I'm just going backwards and falling onto people. And then 9/10 of the way through it started rotating. And I was like, oh, no, what's this? I really liked one person in this match that I went, oh, this person is good. They're showing out a little bit. Can you guess who it was?
Titus Alexander?
No, I thought Alan Angels.
Oh, Alan Angels is good.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's good. He would come in and I'd be like, oh, a good wrestler here. Because I was not as low as you, but I was sort of like, this is a real nothing affair.
Yeah.
There were some rough... I liked that Vinny came out in matching gear with Miko. I liked that. That was fun.
I hate every time I'm expected to take Vinny Massaro seriously.
I was like, oh, we don't even get the best part of him, which is he comes out to the Godfather theme or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, none of that. Like, whatever. It was an opening match. It was mostly the Hirota comedy, which, again, I was like, okay, this is a little bit more fun with four people doing it. Like, the rope walk stuff was sort of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff at the end. I liked that she won the match, which was very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah,
stick this on fucking pancakes and pile drivers or whatever the fuck, and it fits right in.
The next match was a singles match. Miyu Yamashita making her first ever appearance in Marvelous, defeating the super rookie Senka Akatsuki in 10 minutes and 14 seconds. I didn't say this at the beginning, but I will say it now. I found, Kelly, did you watch with English or Japanese commentary?
Japanese.
Okay, I listened with the English commentary, and I would very politely say it was quite bad.
I don't think I realized there was English commentary for this. Who was the table?
It's the usual team that does, like, the Sendai Girls.
Okay.
I don't remember who the guy is, but it's, like, Crystal and...
Yeah.
Whoever the guy is. It really started in this match where one of them, I believe, said, oh, Miyu Yamashita, who debuted in 2023.
What?
And I was like, what? Like, that's wrong. Anyway, that was the first time
Chat
it stuck
GPT
out.
GPT ass notes.
Not the last time. I liked this match. I thought it was really good. I would probably have gone like 3.5, 3.75 maybe. The one thing that I noticed is that it feels like the one thing Senka has to work on is her offense. Like, it feels like her defense, her sort of like plucky come from behind, like never say die stuff is all really great. Obviously
she's very good at getting her ass beat.
Yes. It feels like when it was like, oh, I'm here and I'm going to go strike for strike with you, Miyu. It was like, Miyu would give a strike and she would give a very soft strike. And it's like, it's got to be believable that it's like, oh, we're going 50-50.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, it's one of those things where that's almost the downside of how they've kind of, you know, slow roll her training.
Yeah, and it is like a thing where it's like where a lot of these matches and a lot, you know, have been matches about, oh, this she's fighting from underneath. She's never say die. She's kicking out of things. She's trying to sneak these, you know, tough pins in. She hasn't really had a ton of opportunities to be like, I'm coming in this match and I'm dominating.
Yeah.
You know, and so it isn't really an issue. I mean, she's still very young. She's still, you know, in the quote unquote rookie phase, but it's a thing where it's like, oh, it might be good to start having her work on her offense instead of these matches that are all solely like, I will never give up. I will never quit, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I thought this match was pretty good. I thought Miyu had a lot of great kicks. That looked really good, but that was probably the one thing, you know, I think it'd be very easy to come on here every time and be like another great Senka, you know, fight from behind. But eventually she can't do that for the next 20 years. You know, that can't be her career. At some point she's going to need to become an offensive based wrestler. And so that was really the note that stuck out to me.
I really enjoyed the match. I went 4 stars on it. My main takeaway was I would love to see Senka work some Tokyo Joshi dates. I think that would be very beneficial for both her and the young wrestlers on the Tokyo Joshi roster.
Well, we got to get her away from Marigold.
Yeah.
The next match was a 6-person tag team match. The trio of Aja Kong, Sora Ayame, and the new rookie, Hijiri Saotome, defeating Aiho-san, Chigusa Nagayo, and the other debuting rookie, Ruka Amahane, in 18 minutes and 55 seconds. Kelly, what did you think of this one?
I thought this was kind of not great. I don't know. It felt like it was very, it felt long, and 18:55 is kind of long for what this match was. I do find it kind of wild that Sora Ayame is just like Palm Harajuku, but played straight. It's very much the same offense, but just without the I'm a 3-year-old to it. So I thought that was funny. The stretch near the end with the two rookies felt like an eternity. It was not good. And like I get why the match was on the card. You know, I appreciate it being there, but ultimately I did not care much for this.
I didn't really understand the end of the match. I mean, I will also say the English commentary fully called the wrong finish. They were like, oh, it's a time limit draw.
And well, that's what I think, like, everyone thought it was.
Yeah, they were like, oh, never mind. I didn't understand. Like, I actually didn't mind the two rookies sort of going after each other. And it's like, oh, we've only got two moves that we know. Like, we just got to keep spamming these moves on each other and try and pin each other. And we're fighting and we're not letting ourselves be pinned. Like, whatever. And I fully thought, oh, they're going to a time limit draw. They're just going to keep fighting in the ring. They're going to go to a time limit draw, whatever. But then it's like Aja tags in, and then it's like, oh, never mind. Aja's just going to win the match. And I was like, what? Why?
I wonder if it was supposed to be a time limit draw, and like Aja was like, hold on, these kids are getting gassed. I don't know if they can last another minute.
It was just very, like, the whole match felt very weirdly, like, I didn't understand what the sort of, okay, the match has ended. What am I supposed to think about these people?
Yeah, like,
you know,
it's,
obviously
it's
I know
an introduction to the new rookies, but like I don't think either of them stood out.
But I'm like, had they gone to the time limit draw with the rookies, it would have been like, okay, they were fighting hard, you know. Mm-hmm. They ended the match fighting hard, you know. The veterans, Chigusa, Aja, were willing to be on the apron and sort of watch them and guide them, but, you know, let them fight it out themselves, and it turns out they're evenly matched, whatever. But then the end of the match becomes sort of like, oh, and then Aja comes in and wins.
Yeah, it very weird. I don't entirely know what they're trying to accomplish besides get Chigusa on the card and the two rookies.
Like, am I supposed to think Hajiri is better than Ruka because she is on the winning team? Question mark. You know, Sora is in the tough position of being in the rookie class with Senka.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you're in the rookie class with someone who's like, well, this is an all-timer coming down the pike. So it was sort of like two veterans, the two rookies, I can understand that, then sort of two middle-of-nothing wrestlers. And so just the whole thing, and it was long. I mean, it went a long time. There was a lot of screaming. My girlfriend watched the show with me and was badly put off by the amount of screaming.
Yeah, this was the second longest match on the whole show.
Yeah, so it just was sort of strange, and I didn't understand at the end, sort of, am I supposed to be like, oh, these new rookies are tough? Maybe? I don't know. Very odd. Next was the International versus Japan 8-person tag team hardcore, quotes, match, where the foursome of Jesse Jackson, Johnny Robbie, Masha Slamovich, and Queen Aminata defeated Chikaya Nagashima, Ichika Miyabi, Rini Yamashita, and Veni in 16 minutes and 20 seconds. I didn't like this.
No. I really just came away from this match being like, why did this happen? Why was this a hardcore match? Why are these people tagging together? It felt just like they had to check a box and they're like, I don't know, fucking hardcore match. These people go. And it just felt so soulless and like there was just nothing to it. And like this stretch was really rough for me. these two tags back to back. I was like, after this match, I stopped watching for the day and then came back to it another day.
It just was very, I mean, it seems clear to me that it was like hey, let's get some foreigners on the card who have worked Marvelous before.
But like, why is it hardcore?
I think all of these big shows are like, well, we've got to do at least one hardcore. Although I think we have to create a new name for matches that are only like people lightly throwing chairs at each other and then one person goes through a table.
The Dash Chisako special.
Yeah. The Dash, yes. The Dash match.
Which is insulting because she's very good at that, that kind of match.
Yeah, I mean, I've even started with those matches to be like, okay, I get this. But yeah, they are in a better style than this. They end with something where you're like, wow, that's crazy, at least. Mm-hmm. Like this, the craziest thing was the Team International setting up that wall of chairs for like 7 minutes. And then I was like, what spot are they going to do with that? And the spot was, whoops, we fell into them. I was like, that's it? That's the whole thing? I mean, Ichika waving around that baseball bat and then like knocking it on the end of a chair and being like, oh, cool. Okay, fun. I mean, not even getting into the idea of Masha Slamovich appearing here.
Yeah.
Which, am I surprised? I think I said this last time when we were previewing the show. You know, good idea? Probably not. Am I surprised? Like, when I first saw this match, was I surprised? No.
No.
But it just sort of ended. English commentary incorrectly calling Queen Aminata Jesse Jackson. which felt slightly problematic to me. When they were it was literally in the intros, and they're like, and finally they're introducing Jesse Jackson. And the announcer was like, and Queen Aminata. And they're like, Queen Aminata, actually.
They're like, yes, Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yeah. One of them called her Queen Amitana at one point, I believe. One of them called Masha Slamovich Masha Slamovichy, because I think they were imitating the Japanese call of the name. Very odd. Oh, my other note is I'm starting to become a little depressed.
Brother, I'm right there with you.
About Venny.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she's ever reaching the level of potential that she had.
I'm like, 2 years ago, we were like, she's going to be the best wrestler in the world, and someone's going to sign her, and it's going to be amazing.
Yep.
And she's going to be so good. And now I feel like most of the time I see her is in matches like this.
Yeah, she's kind of just moonwalking through her career now, where it's like, okay, nothing of any real value or import is coming out of you anymore, is it?
Correct. So that was the 8-person hardcore match.
This is when I was the most down on the show and was like, man, I don't like this show.
The next match was a singles match, Mio Momono defeating the returning May Sierra in 6 minutes and 43 seconds. This had a 10-minute time limit, which I didn't know about until they said it on the show, and I figured they'd just go 10 minutes and go to like a draw or something. It was like I would go 3 3/4 probably, in that I thought it was good. It was so short that it was hard to really go higher than that. But it had the hint. So back in, what year was that? 2018, 2017, when all of these people, it was like Mio, May, Hoshizuki at the time, Maria, and they would be on these marvelous shows and they would just wrestle each other on the undercard and it would be like the best thing I had ever seen. I think there's a year in Marvelous where I have multiple 5-star singles matches that are like not the main events of shows. And it would be like May Hoshizuki versus Maria and they'd have some crazy match. I thought this had a hint of that, where like they sort of were doing, it was sort of a 6-minute, like fully high speed, like we're just moving and grooving match. So I enjoyed it. It just was one of those things where it's like, oh, a bummer that this is only going to be at most 10 minutes and it's going to end. I mean, May Sierra taking the pin, I'm like, boy, did Stardom send her out and be like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. I was not expecting her to take the pin at all.
I guess it makes sense based on what then happened later in the show, but I was like, oh, I fully thought this was going to a time limit draw because Stardom would be like, May, don't go over there and get pinned, please. But it didn't. But again, short, but I enjoyed it, so I would probably go like 3 3/4.
Yeah, I had a great time with this. I went 4 stars on it, just mile a minute, fun, high-speed style match. It was much needed following the prior two matches.
Next was the Rin retirement match. It was Mayu Iwatani, I guess in quotes, and Rin defeating Itsuki Aoki and Mio Momono in 16 minutes and 51 seconds. Mayu, I guess, legitimately still dealing with this ankle issue and was in the match for maybe 3 minutes of this. Is that generous? Maybe
that
less?
That seems about right, yeah.
She hit about 3 moves in total in the match. Kelly, what did you think of this?
I liked a good chunk of it. But I really hated when we got to the NXT-level nonsense with Aoki keeping Mio from beating Rin. Like, that, I tuned out after that. Like, I guess it's nice for Rin to get a win on the way out, but like Mio should not have been the one to take the pin there.
I mean, it makes sense to me. I guess you could argue, okay, her own partner turned on her in the end, and she had already wrestled an additional 7 minutes of this match. So I was sort of like, I can sort of fudge it in my mind and be like, okay, it's okay. And Mio maybe being like, oh, I like Rin, I'll let her pin me. I didn't really mind.
Aoki's right there.
I didn't really mind at the end, like, Aoki turning on Mio, because I was like, well, Rin doesn't even really have a partner, because Mayu was just, like, rolling around on the outside. So I was like, people like Rin, whatever. Like, I was not, I didn't love this match. I wasn't blown away or anything close to that by it. But I was like, oh, let them have fun. Let them, like, do whatever they want to do.
Oh, well. You crazy kids.
The semi-main event was for the AAAW tag team titles, and we have new champions as the duo of Nightshade and Nyla Rose defeated the Magento duo of Maria and Rico in 15 minutes and 11 seconds. I thought this match was so boring.
Yeah. I thought it had, like, an interesting dynamic with, like, the two monster foreigners fighting the heels. So, like, I thought that was kind of interesting, but that's about it.
It was a match where I just kept being like, oh, is my phone ringing? Oh, I think my phone might be ringing. Oh, is someone trying to talk to me, maybe? Oh, no, no one is. Okay, I'll check in on the match.
I desperately need Nightshade to stop trying to be scary.
I just don't really understand. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, I don't need to see Nightshade.
Like,
I'm good.
She might be the most try-hard wrestler I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, it was just a thing where I was like, I am not interested in this challenger team in any way. And I found it very odd. It's like, okay, you've developed this one group of heels on the whole roster. And on your big show, they're essentially the baby faces.
Yeah.
In this match, like, what? Why? I guess you're like, oh, Nyla Rose has wrestled for Marvelous a lot. But it was just odd. It was just odd to me.
And the funny thing is, like, Nyla wasn't really wrestling like a heel. And, like, after the match was incredibly respectful about everything. And it was like, well, hang on. What's happening?
Yeah. And then the main event of the show was for the AAAW title, the champion Takumi Iroha successfully defending in 24 minutes and 48 seconds against her Spark Rush tag team partner, Sari. Hot dog. What a match.
This was some real psycho shit, and I loved it. Like, my God, they were trying to kill each other.
They just whooped. They whooped. It's a match where I'm absolutely shocked there was not one shoot headbutt.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, it's got to be coming. They're absolutely pummeling each other.
I loved the bits where the referee was like, you guys got to calm down. What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then they're slapping and pushing the ref.
Yeah. Like, and he's like, God, like,
forget you. As the ref is like, okay, enough of this.
Yeah. Please stop punching Sari directly in the back of the head at the base of her neck.
Yeah. Slapping. I mean, it was just so good. I went 4 3/4.
That's
on
where
it.
I am too.
I was so close to 5. And then right at the end, this is such a nitpicky thing. Takumi went to do that, like, knee lift strike, yep, and didn't hit it. Like, it fully was like, oop, that didn't go anywhere. And that was the one thing where I was like, oh, I'm sort of between 4.75 and 5. This is really good. And then I was like, okay, 4.75.
Yeah.
That was, like, the one issue with the match, because everything else was really good.
I felt like Iroha's leg selling ended up being fairly inconsistent, and for it to be such a big part of, like, the first half of the match, for then it to kind of just go away was not great. So that's what kept me from going 5.
I didn't mind the leg stuff, because she did sort of keep the, like, she would do something and then be like, like, oh geez, like, oh, my leg. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't need her to, like, be like, ah, my leg forever is gone.
Yeah. Well, I think also a part of that is just how much it looked like Sari was trying to rip her fucking leg off her body.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It was like, I say a lot, or we say a lot on the show, we're like, oh, this match is really hard hitting.
Yeah.
That was the definition of hard hitting. I will also say, as a recommendation for the match that my girlfriend did watch with me, and when it ended, said that is the best match we've watched.
Nice.
And, you know, she hasn't watched everything with me, but has watched many, many things with me. So even a high recommendation from her, although she does. I'm sorry, I'm sort of revealing all her secrets now, but she does not like foot stomps. And they were like spamming the foot stomps in this match. And she was like, why do they keep doing that?
Because they're trying to murder each other.
They're trying to kill each other. Yeah.
Yeah, this is my number two match of the year, and I would say really it's probably number one, but it's going to be real hard to beat the Tanahashi retirement match.
I would have to think back, because I have Miyu Suzume above. That would be above. Like Hiro Senka might be close-ish, maybe. And there's one other one. There's another match I went 5 stars on, wasn't there?
Oh, probably the Spark Rush tag.
Yes, the Spark Rush tag I went 5 on. So it's really those 4 matches, I think, that are the matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my top 3 are Tanahashi Okada, then Iroha Sari, and then Spark Rush versus Miyu and Endo.
But yeah, a great end to the show. I do think helped a little bit with the portions that were like, okay, like, let's move on from this. And then you end the show and you're like, amazing.
Uh-huh.
If it would have been a little worse, maybe you leave the show being like, eh, it was fine. But great match. Definitely worth go out of your way to watch it.
Absolutely.
Definitely worth it. Available on Wrestle Universe only until the 20th of May.
And then it just disappears.
Which is so weird to me. I'm like, if you buy the pay-per-view on Wrestle Universe, shouldn't you have it forever?
You'd think.
Like, what a weird thing to be like, oh, and you buy it and a week later you lose access to it. Just is very odd to me that they do that. Makes no sense. All right. So what else has been happening in the world of Joshi? A Stardom just had a Korakuen a few hours ago. 2 things coming out of that. Maki Ito challenging Sayaka Carrara to a meet and greet battle before they face off for the World of Stardom title. I guess they're going to do meet and greets and see who gets more fans there? Question mark. Don't know. Also announced, Kelly, the world never stops.
It never, ever stops.
It will never stop. MLW announcing a partnership with Stardom. So we'll see what that entails. I'm most interested because the partnership MLW has had has been with Tokyo Joshi. So I'm interested to see... Does that just go away?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, is it that Tokyo Joshi is sort of like, oh, we're not really interested in sending you wrestlers anymore? And they were like, okay, we'll reach out to Stardom. I don't know. We'll have to see. My opinion, and this is just my opinion, I really hate MLW. I have been to 2 of their shows live. They are the 2 most boring wrestling shows I've ever been to in my whole life. And
I've never had the pleasure.
The thing about it is, and I don't even know if I've done this, but like going to a show that is bad is better for me to me than going to a show that is just like nothing. Like, Kelly, if I was like, you are going to go to a show, that show is going to be 4 hours long, and every single match will be 2.5 stars. How interested are you in going to that show?
That's why I don't watch MLW. You've got the 3-star ceiling.
And I went once, and I was like, I didn't like this. I should not go again. And they came back, and I was like, well, maybe. And there were Tokyo Joshi people on the card. And I was thinking, okay, I'll go to see them. It'll be fine. It was not fine. Anyway. Marigold had a Korakuen Hall show on the 16th of May. Miko Aono defending her title successfully against Maddie Morgan. There was an Utami gauntlet match. I believe ended up in something like 15 time limit draws. Utami beat two people, which was Megaton and someone else. And Sari Yamaoka beat her. They were 1 minute matches each. So a bunch of 1 minute time limit draws, but Sari did manage to beat her. Sendai Girls had a show on the 10th where Senka Akatsuki successfully defended the junior title against Yuna. In Ice Ribbon on the 10th, Kaho Matsushita defending the Ice Infinity title against Tsukina Umino. In Diana on the 4th of May, Haruka Umasaki defended the Diana world title against Miran. And in Wave, Catch the Wave has continued, still not airing, unfortunately. What is coming up in Joshi? Well, that would be Stardom has Queen's Dynasty on May 23rd. A few matches announced for that. There will be a number one contender match for the World of Stardom title. Starlight Kid versus Suzu Suzuki versus Micah versus Natsuko Tora.
I was really excited about it until that last one.
Rani Igami will defend the Future of Stardom title against Kyoko Furusawa. Azumi and Miyu Amasaki will defend the newly won Goddesses of Stardom titles against FWC, Hazuki, and Kogama. Hanan will take on B. Priestley for the Wonder of Stardom title, and Sayaka Carrara will defend the World of Stardom title against Maki Ito.
I'll be very interested to see how this draws, because I think this is a fairly weak card.
Yeah, I'm not jumping up and down. I mean, I think Azumi Miyu.
Well, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Good. That will be good. We'll see also what else they fill out the card with. But I can't say I'm jumping with excitement over the top two.
Tora's winning that number one contender match.
Yes.
I'm telling you that right now.
I'm prepared. And then on the 26th of May, Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show. Nothing announced for that yet. Marigold has Shine Forever on May 23rd. That will be main evented by Miko Aono, Mai Sakurai, and Mirai, facing off against Utami, Takumi Aroha, and Maddie Morgan. That will also have a twin star title match, Misa Matsui and Chiaki defending against Chika Goto and Koke Amore. Sari Yamaoka will take on Senka Akatsuki, and there will be a 8-person match, Natsumi Shozuki, Nao Ishikawa, Shoko Koshino, and Angel Hayes against the interesting team of Nagisa Nosaki, Nyla Rose, Nightshade, and Johnny Robbie.
Sure.
Johnny Robbie, save us.
But just make it a hardcore match, because why not?
In Sendai Girls, there will be a tag title match on the 26th. Sapphire and Anita, the team of Hyperactive, will try and win the titles from Ryo Mizunami and Naname. Ice Ribbon will have an Ice Infinity Challenger decision match, Sumika Yanagawa and Yuka singles match there. And Catch the Wave continues. Kelly, what is happening in the world of Choco Pro?
On the 24th, they have a show, I believe, at Shinkiba, Apple Universe, which is Mei Suruga's 8th anniversary show. So far announced, Mei Suruga versus Bali Anaki, Best Bros Explode, Mia Yatsuba versus Suzume, and Chie Koshikawa versus Mirai. So, should be a fun show.
All right. Well, that is all for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So, I'm going to throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
I finished the Old Boy manga. Very, very good. The book, the second hardcover is like 800 pages, and I breezed through it in an afternoon. Like, it's very easy to read, and goddamn, did I just want to keep going to see what happened next. Very interesting, having seen the movie first. There are quite a few differences in it. So if you've seen the movie and you really enjoy the movie, I would recommend the manga, because it is also very good, but different enough where you're not just reading the thing you've seen already.
All right. Well, that is all for us. Before we leave, remember to join the millions of Babbel learners breaking the language barrier every day by joining Babbel at voicesofwrestling.com/JBABabbel. That is all for me. That is all for Kelly. But we will talk to you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.